put her down, dropping to her knees so that she caught the physician on the way up, her bony knees smashing into Mildred's ribs, driving her back to the earth and pinning her there. The blonde's hands snaked out for Mildred's throat, and there was a gleam of bloodlust in her eyes. It was only because Mildred was a fraction quicker than Margia had thought that she managed to prevent the Amazon's grip taking hold of her throat. Mildred brought her hands up, her arms together so that they wormed in between the blonde's. She pushed her arms out, taking Margia's forearms away from her prone body. Mildred's hands clutched the blonde's forearms in a vice-like grip that pinched the flesh and hard bone beneath.
You won't beat me, you know. You'll tire before I do.
Like fuck!
By this time, members of the Gate had started to drift toward the fight. An internal skirmish was rare among the tribe, and rather than any sense of urgency, there was an overwhelming curiosity among the onlookers. Christy desperately wanted to intervene.
Don't do it.
But Tammy...
That's not how it's done here, sweetie. Trust me.
Oh.
Dean, John, and Peter had also homed in on the fight, after hearing the initial argument.
Shit. Mildred doesn't stand a chance.
Mildred's a hell of a fighter, John. Margie is gonna have to be good to take her out.
Doesn't matter how good a fighter she is, Dean. She sure as shit ain't crazy, and Margia is.
Peter's right. She'll keep going until she wins, even if all the flesh is flayed from her fucking hide. She just gets this wildfire in her. I've seen her before.
Then why isn't anyone stopping her?
Two reasons. One, you never interfere with a fight between two women. Not in this tribe. It's the worst breach of law you can think of.
Hot fucking pipe. I can't let that get in the way of stopping this. I can't let Mildred get...
Second reason, Dean. Margie is an evil bitch, and she won't rest until she's either the victor or the vanquished. This'll run until she dies or comes out on top, and believe me, my friend, if you get in the way, she'll take you out as well.
But...
Believe him, Dean.
Dean looked on helplessly while Margie pummeled Mildred. She'd beaten away Mildred's arms, loosened the grip that Mildred had on her forearms, and was swinging punches and chops at the prone woman. People were slow to make their way from the corners of the camp, and Ryan, Doc, and Gloria were nowhere to be seen. Neither was J.B., who was at that moment in the armory tent, putting the finishing touches to his Uzi, which he'd lovingly stripped and cleaned. But there was one man who was close enough to see almost immediately what was going on, one man who had no one to tell him not to intervene. Not that mere words could ever stop Jack Lauren when he was determined to see something through. Mildred was by now almost insensible. Margia had landed a chopping blow to the side of her neck that had made her see a whirl of colors in the night air, a thousand firecrackers exploding in her head. Mildred had always thought exploding lights and fireworks in the head were a cliché. Now she knew firsthand the aptness of the image, at a moment when it was imperative she remain alert. But somehow she couldn't. The blow had caught a nerve cluster and stunned her severely. She wanted to lift her arms and defend herself, but they stubbornly refused to obey. She was painfully aware that this left her completely open to attack, and Margia would exploit that.
Now, why would I try to make you look bad? You're doing such a good job yourself.
Fuck you, bitch.
I think I'm starting to like you, honey.
The blonde armorer landed blow after blow, not in any hurry, but with the calm assurance of one picking her spot. She'd caught on quickly that Mildred was incapacitated, and was taking her time finishing the job. Jack came streaking through the crowd, white hair flowing out behind him, his face pale and ghostly in the distant campfire light. He shouldered aside the Gate members who blocked his path.
Hey, watch it!
He jumped, launching himself into a flying dropkick that hit Margia on the side as she was about to land another blow.
Hit!
Her arm had been raised, and Jack's combat boots hit her under the ribs and in the soft hollow of her armpit. The blonde was driven sideways onto the ground and off Mildred. Jack rolled beside her and got to his feet as she gathered herself and rose to attack the new threat.
Fat one, fat all.
You little shit, you'll learn!
Margia launched herself at the albino. Jack was ready for the assault and adjusted his balance so that he could take the brunt of her attack side on. In her sudden flaring anger, she'd lost some of her cunning, but Jack was still calm and collected. He countered her blow and used her own force against her to drive her back to the ground.
Freak bastard!
She sprang to her feet once more, her hand snaking down her thigh to where she had her punga sheathed. Jack was ahead of her. He moved into her, palming one of his leaf-bladed knives and using a swift downward motion, cut through the straps that held the sheath to her thigh. The punga dropped away from her thigh before she'd gripped the hilt. She tilted her body slightly to grab the knife, and Jack took advantage of this sudden shift in balance to upset her totally, driving one combat boot outward so that it caught her bare ankle. Her ankle gave way beneath the driving force, and she crumpled to one side. Jack followed her down, knife in palm. He secured her at the shoulders with his knees and held the knife to her throat. She was completely silent, but her eyes gleamed with murderous desire.
Give one reason why not.
Because I say so.
Not enough, Gloria.
Gloria stepped around until she was in his view. Ryan was with her. Jack knew that the one-eyed warrior would back him, as he would back any of his people, but he was also aware that Ryan would show deference to the Gate Queen right now.
Because she's my sister, and as much of a bitch as she can be, and as stupid works as any man, she's still blood.
Gathered around the scene, both Dean and Christy started when they heard that. They had each wondered why Margia could get away with so much in a society that otherwise wouldn't have tolerated her. Now it was clear. She was under the Queen's sufferance. Jack looked Gloria squarely in the eye, leaf-bladed knife still at the blonde's throat. Then, with the barest nod, he slipped the knife back into its secured hiding place and rose from the supine woman.
Check, Mildred.
The encampment returned to normalcy quickly. Margia was led off by her sister, and the companions took Mildred back to their billet to tend to her. In a subdued atmosphere, activity continued as on a normal night, until a gradual silence descended on the city of canvas and plastic.
Jack? Jack?
Jack looked at his companions. They were all asleep at this late hour, and as usual, he was the only one still awake. Sleeping was always hard, for when the dreams came, they were violent and merciless in reliving his family's tragedy. So sometimes Jack was glad of distraction. He rose and went out of the tent. Gloria stood before him, framed by the light of a still-burning lamp.
Thank you for not chilling my sister.
Your tribe. You deal.
Come on, honey. Come and join with me this night. I want you.
Jack took her hand without a word and followed her back to her tent. Once inside, she turned to kiss him, and as their lips met, it was like stepping off into the void. It had been a long time for him, and it had taken someone like Gloria to awaken those instincts within him once more. Dean had awakened and watched Jack and Gloria leave. He also saw something they had missed, the figure of the blonde armorer, limping heavily, lurking in the shadows of the tents. Remembering what John and Peter had told him, and figuring that bedding her sister would add to Margie's hatred of Jack, he decided that he had to put his father in the picture as soon as morning came.
Things are about to get really complicated.
The next evening, they sat around the fire. The entire tribe gathered together, apart from those who were on watch, joined by the companions. They sat in the flicker of the dying flames to hear Gloria relate the stories that were passed orally from generation to generation of Amazon queens.
At the time before the great darkness, they came to tell of the secret gateways scattered about the land. They were all in their manner